The following shiur has been presented by Rav Ari Marburger, Dayan at Beis Din Mesharim and author of Business Halacha, and has been brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Maseches Bava Metzia has been graciously dedicated by Michael and Mindy Ashley in loving memory of Pearl Sarah Bas Nosson Ashley. May the Torah studied be a merit for her neshama.
Today's Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph deals primarily with the concept of Asmachta. Asmachta means a reliance, when somebody obligates himself a conditional obligation that he will pay if something doesn't happen. He will pay if he doesn't carry through with a performance. He's relying that he will be able to carry through, and therefore really doesn't intend to pay. He really doesn't have the gemiris das to be mechayv himself with that obligation. That is an asmachta. There is a machlokes rishonim, how broad the chasaron of asmachta is. Is it every time any conditional obligation is asmachta? Or it has its limitations? As well, there's a machlokes rishonim, how to get out of asmachta. In our Gemara, for example, the Gemara mentions Penime Akshav takes care of asmachta. Many rishonim hold that that's not true, that's limited to our sugya, but really, you can't get out of asmachta unless you make a kinyan me'akshav in front of a bezem koshev. There are other ways, perhaps, that we can get out of asmachta depending on the rishonim. Let's deal with the shitas atosis, which is really the shitas Rama and Simni Reish Zayin. Tosis holds that an asmachta is either one of two things. Either a case where I am not totally in control, I'm obligating myself, conditioned on something that I'm not in control, not completely in control, so I really can't have that gemiris das. Or, even if something is totally in my control to perform, but the obligation is a guzma, the obligation is excessive, the obligation is more than the liability of the obligee. The obligation is more than the obligee's loss. If I say that if I don't fix your house, or I don't mow your lawn or plow your field, I'm going to mimikai myself $1 million, that $1 million penalty is excessive. It's more than the loss that you would incur by me not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So asmachta is one of two things. Asmachta is either where it's not in my control, or it's a guzma, it's more then you deserve to be reimbursed. It's more than the loss that you're suffering. The question is, in modern day times, how to deal with the problem of asmachta. Many, if not most of the arrangements, contractual agreements that we enter into, have some form of asmachta, some form of penalty, a fee, an obligation, that's more than the loss of the other party. For example, a typical real estate contract has a deposit that the buyer puts down, saying that if he backs out of this contract, he forfeits the deposit. That is an asmachta, because the amount of the deposit typically is more than the loss that the seller will suffer by me backing out. It's true that the seller suffered time, there was a month or two, that he wasn't able to market the house to other people. But the fact that I backed out 2 months later really didn't cause the seller much loss. Maybe a bit more advertising loss, or maybe his lawyer that was engaged in dealing with the contract with me. It's not much of a loss that he has. And therefore the asmachta amount, that deposit, isn't justified. It's more than his loss, and it's considered an asmachta. A residential lease, which has a late fee. If you pay after the fifth day of the month, you have a knas of 5% of the outstanding balance, whatever the percentage is. That late fee is also a form of a knas. It's an asmachta. I am obligating myself to pay you if I don't come through with a timely payment. I am obligated to pay you this knas, even though your loss doesn't justify this kanas. You don't really have much of a loss. Perhaps your secretary had to send out a notice demanding payment, took up her time. Maybe it's worth $5. The stamp, the envelope, it's not worth much. And yet the knas, the fee, is much more, and that's considered an asmachta. Agav, I should mention that a recurring late fee in a lease poses serious ribbits issues, and one should consult a competent authority how to structure such a lease. Another case of real estate would be if you're building a home, you hire a builder, and you put in a penalty that if he doesn't finish the home at a certain time, for every month thereafter that it's delayed, he will take less payment. There's a penalty clause. That is also nasmachta. The loss that I have usually doesn't justify that, and therefore it should be considered nasmachta. And it's a problem. How do we deal with asmachta in modern-day times? How do we make these contracts, these obligations, these agreements binding? And it's not just limited to real estate. Really, it's in just about everything we do. From playgroups, there's a registration, and I back out. Or camps, there's a registration. I even pay up in front, full payment for the whole summer. And let's say my child, in the middle of the summer, decides to back out. She or he is not happy in the camp and would like to leave or leaves after the first trip. And it's non-refundable. I cannot get my payment back. That's an asmachta. That's excessive. Now, if the camp had to turn away another child, the camp was full, and because I reserved that slot, they had to send away a different child, so they lost out from a different child's camp payment, then they would have a loss. And yes, and one could justify the reason why you have to pay. But very often the camps are not full, and then this payment merely is just a knas. It's excessive and should be a smachta. A partnership agreement typically has a clause about a capital call. What happens if we go into partnership into a building and we have to renovate the building, or we need capital to carry the partnership? And there's usually a clause about a capital call that every partner has to cough up a certain amount of money. And if he doesn't, he's penalized. Either he'll have a reduction of his percentage of ownership, his equity percentage will be reduced, or he'll have a certain penalty that he'll have to pay the other partners for covering for his capital call. So these two are considered l'chayra asmachta. Any service provider sometimes will have a penalty that if the goods aren't delivered on time or the work wasn't performed in a timely fashion by a certain date, he will have to take a cut in pay. He'll have to take a cut in the price. And that l'chayra should also be asmachta. You hire a sefer to write a sefer Torah, and you make up with him he has to finish at a certain time, and if he doesn't, he'll have a reduced price. So yes, that l'chayra should also be asmachta. V'chehena v'chehena, and how do we address this in halacha, that it should be binding? The Rishonim already dealt with issues that were prevalent in their times, how certain obligations work in the light of asmachta. For example, Taisus over here, Divrei Maskil Manyumi, addresses how does a knas in shidduchim work. It was prevalent that when parties enter into a shidduch, they will mechayiv a certain amount as a penalty should either side back out. And Taisus would like to know, how does that work? L'chayra that's a smachta. The amount that either party obligated to the other party was excessive, was more than the loss that the other party suffered. It's not a monetary deal. The other party didn't suffer any real monetary loss. And yet, they're entering into an agreement to create a fine, a penalty, to pay the other side should they back out of the shidduch. How does that work in halacha? L'chayra, it should be a problem of asmachta. And Taisus says two terutzim, how this works, and it's not a chesaron of asmachta. His first terutz is, his first teretz is that since it was a widespread minig to have these knosses when they enter a shidduch, and it was a widespread minig to carry through and to pay these knosses should someone back out, because of the minig, that takes away of the problem of asmachta. what's the svara of Taisis? How does minig take away a problem of asmachta? So there are really two pshatim given in the Achrayim. One pshat is that the chesaron of asmachta is gemiris das. A person really doesn't have gemiris das. He's really relying that he's going to carry through and he'll never be hit with this penalty. Even when he enters into such an obligation, he's really relying on the fact that it won't happen. And even if it would happen, everyone knows that it was really hoping that it shouldn't happen and really didn't have that gemiris das. But if there's a widespread minig that everyone carries through and pays that knas, then I have no more way out. I know that should I fail to perform, I will have to pay that knas, because that is the minig olam. I won't have an excuse that I didn't really mean it. Memela, I was forced to be gemir das. I really did fully intend to pay that knas should I not perform. Another pshat the Achrayim say is that we have a concept that minig is mevatel halacha. Often a minig has the power to override halacha. So the Tosis is saying, even though mitzad halacha it should not work because it's asmachta, but because of the minig that everyone does pay these penalties, mitzad the minig will override this problem of asmachta, will override the halacha and will make it binding. That's the first teretz of Tosis, that because of the minig, the asmachta penalty is binding. The second teretz Tosis gives is the bedin hu leskayev kalachayzaboy. Bedin, he's supposed to be mechuyev to pay this penalty if he backs out of a shidduch. Kevin shem mevayish eskaveroy, since he's embarrassing the other party. Whenever someone breaks the shidduch, the other party is embarrassed. He broke the shidduch on me. So to cover for that embarrassment, I have to pay this penalty. And therefore, the penalty is justifiable. Tosis is being mechadish that what makes a penalty justifiable is not just dollars and cents. It doesn't have to be a monetary loss. It could be any type of a loss, even if it's a hefsid through boishes. As long as the penalty is justifiable, it's deserving to cover for the obligee's loss, that will take care of the problem of asmachta. Based on this tesis, we could expand this tesis and say then, even if I was goyrim, the other party, a loss, that's not chayev al pidin, it's not a mazik, mamish, it's not a garmi. Let's say it would only be an indirect loss called the grama. Let's say it's only chayev bidin shemayim. Still, that will justify my penalty and will not be considered an asmachta because it wasn't excessive. It was to cover for the loss that I was goyrim. So when we're talking about our cases, our modern day cases of penalties and fines, let's focus on the second teretz. This second teretz of Tosis, that kanoses by shaduchim are justifiable because in mevayish eskaveroi, is brought down in the Machaben Rei Zayin Sifte Zayin. Based on this teretz, one could argue that many, or at least some of our penalties and fees, are now justifiable because they do cause some form of a loss to the other side. And as long as they're not excessive, they're not more than that other loss, even if that other loss is indirect and only a grama, it will not be considered an asmachta. For example, if you enter into a contract and you put down the deposit, sometimes the seller does have a loss that justifies that penalty. Sometimes the seller is carrying another mortgage somewhere else and desperately needs this money to pay off that other mortgage. And every month he's being hit with a interest payment. And the penalty that's put in is just to cover that interest payment. So that is justifiable. Now perhaps that would only be a grama and I wouldn't be chayiv to reimburse him for those interest payments. But it still could be used in the context of asmachta to justify why my penalty is not excessive. Unfortunately, in most cases, even with counting in grammes, most cases are still asmachta. And therefore we need another etzah, how our asmachtas are binding. Tosis's first teretz of minig is very helpful, because many of our fines and penalties are upheld by the minig. The minig is to enter into such an agreement, and the minig is actually to carry through with those obligations. that second chelek, that the minig is also to carry through, is very important. If the minig would only be to write those penalties, but then when that event takes place, they argue about it, or they negotiate, or they cut a deal, or they'll go to a bezdin, that's not a minig. The Chuvik Sam Seif and Kosh Mishpat Siman Samach Vav points out that even if the minig would be to write those clauses, but if when it happens, they fight over it, that's not a minig. The minig that takes care of Asmach has to be that the minig is that everyone actually pays those fines and fees. And unfortunately then, this teretz also really doesn't take care of all of our smachta issues. It takes care of many, but not all. For example, builders who write in a penalty that if they don't finish by a certain date, they will take a cut in their pay, very often fight about it when they're late. They blame it on all the problems that are beyond their control. And even if it was in their control, they give all sorts of excuses and they fight over it. And therefore, those penalties should not be binding because the minig won't help. The minig is not to carry through with those penalties. The minig is only to write those penalties. And such a minig is not enough to take care of asmachta. So we're still faced with a problem of how to take care of asmachta in our situations. As I mentioned previously, there is a machlokes rishonim, how to take care of asmachta. Do you make a kinyan mayakshav? Do you make a kinyan in front of a bez and choshev? Some rishonim hold that maybe if the other party already has the money and only making a mechila would work, or at least there's an obligation to the other party, and I'll mechila that obligation. If I create first an unconditional obligation, and then I'll create another shtar having a mechila on it, there are various ways to take care of asmachta. The halacha is that even if you write in the shtar, at the end, the lo kasmachta, or the lo kutufsi shtari, that typical nusak that's added to shtaris, that nusak will not take care of the problem of asmachta. Just because you wrote that this is the lo kasmachta doesn't take care of the problem. However, the Taz points out in Rei Zayin, Sif Yud Zayin, that that's only because he wrote the lo kasmachta, that even though this thing is real in asmachta, you would like it to be treated as if it wasn't an anasmachta. So that doesn't work. However, if you write in Yishtar Ha'idos Baldin that you did it in a way that it's not an asmachta, imkosa b'loshin zev, ishtazeh nasa binin she'ein b'yasmachta, that mahani shafa, that will work, Zaktataz. Why? Because you amayda shlo yisham asmachta klal. You amayda that you did it in a way that took care of asmachta, that there was never an asmachta in the first place. For example, if you hold a bezin koshev works, so you amayda, that must be that you did it, the kinyan, in front of a bezin koshev. V'adaz baldin is kmeh edim dami. And since you amayda, hadaz baldin is kmeh edim dami, it's as if to 100 edim to testify that you did it the right way, and in memela, there's no more problem of asmachta. Now, even though you didn't do it that way, but since you amayda nishtar, it's amayda v'adaz baldin kmeh edim dami. So you amayda that you did it like that, and you took care of asmachta. So the shtar is collectible in a bezin. Are you going to tina, but the other party also knows the truth, and he could now be moida in front of bezin that wasn't done that way? That's not going to make a difference. Because the chasarna of asmachta, like we mentioned before, is gemiris das. A person is not going with das because he was really relying on this excuse that it would never happen. If it does happen, he could always blame, he never really meant it. But if you create a structure that you'll have to face up to that asmachta, you'll have to pay and carry through with the payment, with that obligation, then you can't say, I was relying on the fact that everyone knows I was just doing it and hoping that it should never happen. Because that person could pull out the shtar and say, no, you were moida that you did it in the right way. So you must have been going with us. For example, there's a concept of a person makes a shvua together with asmachta. Not only does he obligate himself, but he swears that if he daka breaks out of the contract, he will pay that money and makes a shvua. Then he is mukhiv to pay not only machmas the shvua, the Sma points out in Sifkat Nun Gimel that he's mukhiv to pay even because of asmachta. Because the only reason why asmachta is lekanya, you don't have gemir's das. But if you made a shvua, it must be you had gemir's das. Because you know there's no way backing out, you have a shvua. So then it's now contractually binding even from the asmachta end, because there's no longer asmachta. You now have gemir's das. You no longer could say they were lying, that it will never really take place. So to hear, once you write a shtar that you were made about us about din, that you did it in a good way, so now you can no longer taina that you didn't have gemiras das, because you know that the other party could pull out their shtar and bezin and be mighty mammon from you. And you'll have no excuse. You can't say it's an smakta. You might that it wasn't an smakta. So the truth is that you didn't do it the proper way, but since that shtar could be pulled out and be mechayv in a bezin, then now you must have been goymer das. You had no way out. You must have been goymer das to be mechayv yourself. Because you know that if you come to bezin, you're gonna lose. So now, even if you really didn't do it in the right way, but since you wrote such a shtar, you umayda, that it was done the right way, you can no longer have a chsaron of asmakta, because you did have gemiras das. And mameili, even if you'll hold like the Rishonim that let's say bezin choshev also is not good enough, so what? But since, like every single rishon, there is a way out of asmakta, once you're umayda badas baldin, that you did it in a way that there was no asmakta, then we'll touch up that you did it in the various ways, like each rishon. You want to know what I did? Go learn the sugi with Rishonim. Like Taisis, I did Me'achshav Bezin Koshev. Like the other Rishonim, I did a Mechila or a Chach Misvard. Every Rishon has a way out. So once I'm made that I did it in a way that there's no Asmachta, Me'mela, it's now going to be binding L'kula Yama, and there's no longer Ksarna Asmachta. And this is really the preferred method. This is the easiest way to get a Asmachta by inserting a clause into our agreements that we did it in a way that satisfies the problem of asmakta. We did it in the various procedures that will take care of the problem of asmakta according to all the shitas rishonim, all the shitas apayiskim, and mameila. Once you do that, even though you really never did those procedures, but once you wrote that, it will be binding and there's no moksarn of asmakta.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.